Now, if you'd like to open your Bible, please, or find in your device the text for today's message, it is in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John, you might have to re-educate your Bible because it automatically opens to Luke when you get to church. But today we're in 1 John because on these communion Sundays, we've been focusing on hope and why we have hope. And this is such a beautiful passage. May God give us grace and strength and wisdom not to lose the beauty of it at all in what we're going through here as we study His Word. Now, we know that nobody has ever seen God in all of His glory. If you think you have, don't raise your hand. It's heresy, okay? I'm not saying we don't encounter God, but nobody has seen God in all of His glory. We know that. But if you were given the assignment of painting a picture of the character of God, you've got your paper or your canvas or whatever media you're using, and your task is to paint a picture of the character of God. Would you create a picture of a warm, beautiful sunrise or a tornado? Would you paint a picture of a beautiful mountain vista, maybe from the top of Fisher Peak or Lackett or somewhere else, or just a beautiful mountain view, or a hailstorm that's destroying everything? How do you perceive, see God? McKnight quotes author Dorothy Sayers, who wrote this: "The God of Christians is too often looked upon as an old gentleman of irritable nerves who beats people for whistling." I remember having a conversation years ago. I was in this committee, and someone lit up at me a bit and said, "Well, I think God is like a nasty old gray-haired grandfather with lightning bolts." Yikes. Bad experiences maybe with religion. I don't know. How do you see God? Mark Gabriel, in his book, Jesus and Muhammad, wrote, "When I was living as a Muslim in Egypt, I was always puzzled by a little saying that Christians put on their cars or framed in their shop windows. The saying or the phrase was, Allah Mahabe, or God is love. These two words are never put together in the Quran. I always thought, I wonder what these people are trying to say." What is your picture of God? How do you see Him? Here's a freeing, beautiful text in 1 John chapter 3, the first three verses. It's about love that looks different. It begins, "See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him. The naming, or the calling, us children is a powerful force in itself." A scholar named Reinecker explains that this calling or naming gives purpose and results. Called God's children, it's almost kind of possessive in its power. It's purposeful. It's our identity. Called His children. The story of Jean Valjean illustrates this astonishing love. We know the story. Jean Valjean, given hospitality by a bishop. And what does he do? He steals some of the silver, I think candlesticks. And he gets away from the bishop's home. The police arrest him, bring him back. And the bishop says, oh, no, no, I gave them to him. I gave them to him. And once the police leave, the bishop says to Valjean, do not forget. Do not ever forget that you have promised me to use the money to make yourself an honest man. And meanwhile, Detective Javert, who can't understand forgiveness or compassion, jumps off a bridge, drowns in the Seine. But the bishop illustrates the astonishing love of God. God's love looks different. God's love looks different. What is your view of God? Maybe you suffer from rejection. Somebody you loved, whose opinion matters, has rejected you, has not given you the affirmation you want. You suffer from that rejection, and you're coming here today saying, I need a love that looks different. Here it is. The love of God looks different. The experience of the love of God is different. It's reserved for the children of God, and the world does not recognize the transformational love of God because they don't know Him yet. But God's children know Him. How is this even possible to know this love that looks so different? The Apostle Paul said Christ's love urged him to convince others that God was their Savior, that Jesus came for them. And he said, so we have stopped evaluating ourselves from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself. Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation through Christ, which you illustrated when you ate the bread and drank the cup. Through Christ, you've been reconciled to God. And He calls you my child. You're my kids. I care about you. I love you. Children of God. Children of God. God's love looks different. We're loved to the point where we can reject rejection. Whose opinion matters to you most? Who do you find yourself trying to impress or please? God's love looks different. Our identity is wrapped up in being His children. Jesus told His disciples, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. This is my commandment. I like how He boils it down here. He says, obey my commandments. Here's my command. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Yes, loving means giving, doesn't it? Giving up, giving in sometimes. No, not suffering abuse, no. But giving. To be so loved is to be at odds with the world. To be so loved can be lonely, oddly enough, in the world. To be loved like this is to live at a different address than the world. To be loved by God like this is to view the world from a different mountain vista than the world looks from. To be loved by God, to be His, to belong. Jesus promised an advocate or counselor who will never, ever leave. And this divine counselor, the Holy Spirit, loves you. Jesus said, He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. Of course, the Holy Spirit was there with and in Jesus and was among them. But later, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, Jesus had ascended to heaven. The Holy Spirit came. The believers in Christ received the Spirit. When you came to Christ, you received His Spirit. And He's in you now. Where do you look for your value? God's love looks different. Oh, this is a renewal of the mind process, isn't it? Changing our journey of finding our identity, our love, our hope in Christ Himself. In the love of God, His love looks different. John Reed tells the story of a man named Dwight Moody, who was a very well-known pastor in Chicago. And Moody's, the church Moody pastored was building a very large kind of tabernacle in Chicago. And it was right about the time when gas lighting, not the way we use the term now, but when real gas lighting was all the rage. It was a new technology. And so churches said, hey, we could meet at night. So evening services happened more and more. And then, you know, we tried to carry that tradition on long after gas lights, and it kind of fizzled. But it was a response to being able to meet in the dark with gas lighting. And one night, just to back up a step, Moody was well known for saying, God is love. God loves everybody. God is love. And so a leader in the church said, we need to put on the building the letters, God is love. He wanted a big sign. And so one day Moody went to the church and he found the gas-fitting fellow was working away, and he realized this man meant to put it in a gas-lit sign. And so every time the lights in the building went on, the words lit up outside on the wall, God is love. And one night, a man was walking by, and he saw this. And he said, God is love, God is love. And he came back, and he looked at it again. God is love. And he found himself going into the church. He sat at the back near the door. And Moody, as he was speaking, noticed the man's face was in his hands. And tears were streaming down his face. So after the service, Moody went to the man. And he said, what's the trouble? And the man says, I don't know. And he said, well, what was it in the sermon that moved you to tears? And the man said, I didn't notice you were preaching. The last thing you want to hear. And he said, well, what was it about the songs that moved you? He said, I don't know anything about the songs. And Moody said, well, what's the trouble? He said, that text out there on the wall. And Moody said, do you believe God loves you? And the man said, I'm not worth loving. For half an hour, they sat together and talked, and the love of God broke into the man's heart. And he turned his heart over to Christ, and he became a new person. In the love of God, the love of God. God's love looks different. For the person who says, I'm not worth loving, I messed up too much. No. No, God and His love look different. Don't get off track or off mission trying to make all the world happy. Just know that God loves you. God loves you. His love looks different today. At the end of the service, we're going to close by having a time of prayer for our church's ministries. You can see them depicted up here. Revive and Pursuit would be part of that. Youth ministries, children's ministries. We've got events and several things under there, like adult timeout, marriage ministries, men's ministries, and so on. Small group leaders, building, and everybody who works in that, the Odd Job Squad, the building committee, worship tech, young adults, missions care team, prayer team. Look, greeting team, I realize there's not a banner just for you. There really could be. You're wonderful. But we're going to just include you in care team today. Look, we need the love of God upon our ministries. Otherwise, we're just making noise. The love of God. So I'm urging, inviting you to just after the service, at the end, there's going to be some music playing. Just go and stand by the ministry you have the most passion for. Maybe you're involved in a few. Choose one. Your parent, maybe, and your kids are in children's ministries. Come on down here. All the people who are serving them this morning can't be here for prayer. They're working. But we need the love of God. And God isn't going to be judging you if you can't pray out loud or if you do pray out loud. And I don't really care about, and the people who are touched by the love of God don't care about your prayer style. They'll just know that God is moving. We need God's love. Paul gave us this, exemplified this prayer. He said, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters. Because there's a lot of things that don't really matter that get our attention. So that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. God's love looks different. And our friends and our family members need the love of God. The power of the Spirit. Our ministries need to work and operate in the love of God. The love of God that rejects rejection. The love that looks different and changes us. God's love leaves us in hope that looks like Jesus. Our text goes on, dear friends, we are already God's children, but He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as He is pure. We know we are God's children. We know we will be like Christ when He returns. We don't know exactly what that will be like. I think partly because we just can't imagine it. We can't imagine being just like Jesus in character. And with Paul, we confess that right now we see kind of dimly, like looking into a broken mirror or through some really dim glass. It's just not clear. Someday we will know God as clearly as He sees us. When I was learning to weld, I quickly grew to appreciate the importance of a very dark lens in my welding helmet in order to save my eyesight. I just needed to see the immediate work area. And sometimes I feel that's how I understand the love of God for me right now. Dimly, but enough to see what's going on right now, but there will be growing clarity. Hope helps us look different, changes us, and God continually challenges us with opportunities to change us, to become like Christ. I think we're facing one of those in our building process, an opportunity to grow in faith. I've been here before. Anytime you make a big decision, there are big obstacles, and you have to pray your way through them. Because we don't battle flesh and blood. So we need to pray, and that's one of the areas of ministry is the building. To pray that the permits go through, that things happen, because it's going to happen. And God will get the glory because He will see it through. Years ago, during a morning prayer walk, I was telling the Lord in my unlimited wisdom. You ever tell God what to think? That His claim through James that we consider trouble an opportunity for great joy. And I said, you know, that's a little over the top. Sure, the promise is that trouble creates endurance, and that leads to maturity and completes our character. It's in James 1, 2 to 4. And then I sense the Holy Spirit saying gently to me, yes, but sometimes trouble is the only way you learn. Okay. Don't you hate it when God is always right? He's the only one true know-it-all. He knows. Yes, but sometimes trouble is the only way we learn and grow. He's constantly working to make us look more like Him. Hope helps us look different. God made the first move in this likeness journey. In Genesis 1:26, He created us in His image and likeness. To be like Him. And the Son of God was born then in our likeness. The New Testament describes Him as our high priest. It says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for He faced all the same testings we do, yet He did not sin. Scholars explain that to be like Him means to be authorized as His agents. To be like Him, His likeness, authorized as His agents. And that's what gives us such worth. It's not clear exactly what it means to be like Christ when He returns, but on some level we will. We won't be mistaken in a lineup for Christ, but we will unmistakably be like Christ. Hope helps us look different. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as He is pure. So this hope looks forward to Jesus coming, looks forward to becoming more like Him. Hoffman explains that New Testament hope never means a vague or fearful anticipation, but always the expectation of something good. Something good is coming our way. This hope is more than a good feeling. It's the benefit we are sure of because of Christ. It involves life beyond death, but also in the present with God. Hope that outlasts the things that can feel hopeless in life. And each of us has been through or is in something like that. Something that has an element of hopelessness in it. But we are lifted by this hope that looks different and it makes our lives different. Hope helps us look different. It sees further than this present world. Paul wrote, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Real hope in God's love generates practical changes in how we live. So our response is to walk closely with Him in the light. Let Him have a look. Look at what He sees. See His astonishing love for us. See the cross where He died to separate us from the power of sin. If our lives don't reflect something of the presence of God, then we're not living in truth. But the Scripture says, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins He cleanses from all wickedness. Hope helps us look different. He's given us this open door to come and say, I confess this, Lord. This is a darkness in my heart. Hope helps us look different. Leslie Perot tells the story of William Farley. He told about reading the Bible, and he read Isaiah 66, verse 2, where God says, this is the one I esteem, who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Humble. Amenable to what God says. And Farley, who wanted to know God better, said, I want you to show me more. I want you to make this real to me. And about 5 days later, he and his wife were on a road trip. They were driving down the Oregon coast. And another verse was on his mind. He'd read in 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And he thought, these two verses work together. There's coming to know God better with a humble heart. And then there's realizing, I don't know him fully like he knows me. And he said, I had the sense that God could see some darkness in my heart. And he said, show me, Lord, what it is. And just minutes later, his wife began talking about a movie she'd seen that she really appreciated. And he belittled her opinion. Because he'd, after all, been, you know, focusing on these holy thoughts. And he thought it was trivial. And immediately, he said, three little words knifed me in the heart. And the words were, there it is. And he sensed God was speaking to him, and he said, what is it? And he said, an overwhelming sense of the moral ugliness of it, my arrogance and pride washed over me. For the first time, I saw this sin in God's light. My next sensation was the profound conviction that God had loved me for 45 years despite this besetting sin he abhorred. And for a moment, he let me know myself as he knew me. It was painful to see my pride as God saw it. Yet I was glad for that glimpse. I wept for my sin, and I wept because of God's indescribable love. He doesn't include it. One would hope he also confessed the sin to his wife. Hope helps us look different, more like Jesus. Hope seeks purity like he is pure. Today we're going to pray that our lives reflect the love and the hope of Christ, his purity. Again, the Apostle Paul prays this and knows that prayer is essential for the people in the church in Philippi. He says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Yes, we are growing, aren't we? In love and in hope that seeks to live like Christ. He also prayed for the church in Rome, something similar. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful dilemma. We have hope right now and we want more. We see that we are children of God. We want to see more. We need to understand more. So we pray that God would send workers into the harvest field. He said, it's ready, it's ripe. We pray that people would come to repentance because God doesn't want anybody to be lost. And praying these things, we know we pray God's will. And if we know we pray his will, we know he hears us. And here's something else we know. Only God can reveal himself to people. The word says, and we know that the Son of God has come and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. That's how we came to believe. By some act of his great mercy, he revealed his love and his hope to you and to me. Why me? So that we become his ambassadors of reconciliation. And so we need to pray. We pray that love and hope that seeks purity would flourish in our ministries. Look around at the wall. Take a look if you haven't yet. Look at the banners. This building, I think the one beyond that says elders. I can't really see it. And then small group leaders, various events, children's ministry, revive and pursuit, prayer ministry, care team, missions, young adults, worship, tech, greeters, part of care team. And I know we don't cover every individual thing that goes on here. I know that. But would you choose something? We're just going to have music play. You come and choose something. Maybe you serve in one of those areas. Be the first to get over there. And when we're finished praying, you are free to go. Take time to pray. Pray down the love and the hope of God. This is the School of Prayer Sunday. Choose something to pray for.